Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, the Transformation Station, Tuesday night teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing transforming the world through love. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for all that you blessed us with today, God. Father, I thank you for all of the grace and all of the mercy that you've given us freely today so that we could be our best for you, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us your words so that we could walk in knowledge and that we could come closer in relationship with you each and every day that we study your word, God. Father, I thank you for our believers who are listening to the show in Canada. I thank you for the saints in the United States. I thank you for your children in Ghana. I thank you for your people in Cameroon. I thank you for your people in Zambia. God, I thank you for your people in Australia. I thank you for your people in Fiji. I thank you for your people in the Philippines. God bless your people in Vietnam. Strengthen your people in India. God, I thank you for your people in Saudi Arabia. Father, I thank you for all of your people in Belgium. I thank you for your people in the Netherlands. I thank you for your people in Germany, God. Father, I thank you for the saints in the United Kingdom, God. Father, I thank you for the believers in Ireland, God. Father, I thank you for the believers in Japan. I thank you for the saints in South Korea, God. I thank you for the believers in Russia. Father, I thank you for the believers in Norway, God. Father, I thank you Sweden. I thank you for your children in Latvia. Father, I thank you for your people in Poland, God. I thank you for your people in Hungary. Father, I thank you for your people in Austria. God, I thank you for your people in Italy, and I thank you for your people in France. And Father, I thank you for your people in Spain. God, I just want to praise you for using us to draw all men, women, and children to you, God. Father, I thank you for you using us in order to help create your heavenly kingdom of many nations, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing your children to identify with our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the globe. Father, I thank you for the level of unity and love to exist that allows the body of Christ to rise up and shine as the global entity that it is, God. Father, I thank you for your family, your heavenly kingdom of many nations manifesting itself in such a way that your people are never without. Your people are never in lack. Your people are never destitute because of the way that you are allowing us to care for one another, God. Father, I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Oh.
shifting, shifting the atmosphere for breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting, shifting, shifting the atmosphere. And it's breaking. How about that? This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Every yoke is destroyed. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere. Worship has power. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hand. because in my worship they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. I worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight I'm gonna be discussing transforming the world through love. And the reason we're going to be discussing transforming the world through love is because love is the only thing that will allow us to be effective in transforming our lives, transforming the world, transforming our reality from the mundane existence of selfishness. Dwell in continually to that level of purpose and power and praise that God is calling us to. And see, when we understand that love is the key to everything, because God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, so that we who believe in his son and make his son our master and Lord can be saved and have eternal life and live a more than abundant life. See, God loved us so much he gave us his first and his best by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and I. Now, when we believe this, our response to God's love for us first is to, in return, love him. And that is it is a reasonable response. And what's fascinating is that it is the Holy Spirit that God makes available to us that really makes it possible for us to love God. And when we love God, then we're able to truly love ourselves. Now, we know it's a command from God that we love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. It's also a command from God that we love ourselves. And see, when we love God, then it's possible for us to truly love ourselves. And the reason we need to love ourselves is so that we, in receiving all of God's blessings and all of God's grace and all of God's mercy, can allow those blessings that come to us to overflow into the lives of others. So now we are truly equipped to love others. And when I talk about transforming the world through love, it really is a call for us to walk in the supernatural, to no longer be to what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch, what we smell, but to be directed by what the Word of God promises, what the Word of God says, what the Word of God sets as the standard, what the Word of God says our reality is. And when we renew our mind to the Word, what happens is our love for God and our love for ourselves and our love for others cast out any fear that might occupy places where God wants to bless us. See, fear is our enemy. Doubt, worry, fear, unbelief, it's our worry. Now, it's our enemy. Doubt, worry, fear, unbelief. Yes, that's our worry. It's our enemy. And we have to be transformed by renewing our mind, which basically is replacing what we think, what we hear, what we observe, what we believe, what we perceive with what the Word of God says. And understand that God has magnified His Word above His name. So when we also exalt God's Word and we understand how valuable it is, then we study God's Word in order to sharpen our understanding, in order to show our love for God, in order to hear the voice of God. And see, when you know what God's heart for you is, when you know what God's will for you is, when you know what God's purpose is for you, then your response is to obey. And your reality is that you are no longer bound by fear. See, it's fear that causes people to get selfish. It causes people to be hostile. It causes people to be defensive. It causes people to live in anguish and disappointment and constantly looking to fight. When God says, I'll fight your battles for you, you just focus on the work that I've given you to do. And see, that's part of our love for God, is we show our love for God by loving others and allowing God to fight our battle. See, God says, vengeance is mine. We don't have to mess up our love walk with trying to get even, with trying to defend ourselves, with trying not to look weak. We have the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within us. And we have to start being supernatural. We have to start using the power that we have so that we are not limited or subject to what the world uses to come against God's purpose in our life. See, God is serious about creating His heavenly kingdom of many nations. God is serious about getting glory out of your life. God is serious about showing you how much He cares for you, showing you how much He loves you, and showing you how much your love that you show to others can produce in the world. We have more power than we realize. And I believe that it is our fear of being so powerful that oftentimes keeps us from realizing our true potential in Christ. See, I once heard someone say that people are more afraid of success than failure. See, success requires you to be accountable. Success requires you to do things and maintain a standard so that you know what you're doing, why you're doing it, when you're doing it, and you're taking responsibility for what you do. You're not just letting things happen, right? And see, when you allow love walk to be something that's intentional, not only will your life be transformed, but your example is going to be the kind of example that people are going to be able to emulate, and they are going to be able to produce change in their life, because love has a way of affecting others. Love will even impact your enemies. People who have committed themselves to stopping you at all costs. And when you learn how to love your enemies, you are going to find that you are more powerful than you realize. Because, see, it's one thing not to kill your enemy. It's quite another to love your enemy. It's quite another to bless people who are cursing you. And to do good to people who spitefully use you. And so God is asking us to tap into the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within us so that we can truly demonstrate in the world that Christianity isn't a joke. And see, God told his people in the Old Testament, he told the children of Israel, if you obey me, if you do what I say, then I'll bless you greatly. But if you disobey me and you turn your back on me, then I'll turn all of your blessings into a big joke. You're just the name of your people will be a byword. And see, that's what we do not want to happen to our Christian walk. See, our Christian walk, when we are doing God's things God's way, it's making an impact. And God is getting glory from us. And it says that when we get glory for God, that we too are glorified. We are glorified as well. And like I said, people are afraid of success because when you start getting glory for God, people are going to pay attention to you. People are going to see what you're doing. And many of us think we want to be seen. And think they want to be seen, usually want to be seen because they want to get money. And that's not why we do what we do. But God says, look, when you glorify me and you get glory for me by obeying me, then you too will be glorified as well. I want to start tonight's teaching in the book of Romans, and I'm going to be reading in Romans chapter 12. And this isn't the only place we're going to be reading tonight, but I want you to be able to focus. I want you to hear what the Word of God is saying to you so that you can do what God is calling you to do, because God is really positioning you to walk in true power. God is really positioning you to walk according to his ordained purpose for your life. And see, God was thinking of you in the beginning. God was thinking of you before anything was brought into being. God said you were a part of his plan. You were a part of his heavenly kingdom of many nations that were going to dwell with him throughout eternity. And so we all know the desire to come to God comes from God. So we don't have to worry about whether or not God called us. What we have to do is we have to study God's word so that we can see what God is asking us to do. And we can learn to hear the voice of God. And we can learn to sort the static of life, to get through the interference of the things that look godly but are not godly at all, and to embrace those things that are godly and embrace those things that God says is going to allow us to live a more than abundant life and get glory for him. So I want to share with you some of the simple things that are going to help you discern the difference between what is godly and what is ungodly. So God tells us that his desire is for us to please him. We are to please God. That's God's desire. But the world, their desire is for us to please people. And pleasing people is a unique form of bondage, but God desires us to be free. And God says, if you seek to please me, you'll be free. And you'll know that everything that you do for me, I'll see. God sees everything. And what is so important about doing God's things God's way is that when you do God's things God's way, you are not only walking in a form of godliness, you're walking in actual godliness. You're not just acting like a Christian, you're being a Christian. And you are embracing the power that comes with that Christian walk. See, the power that comes with being a Christian is the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, that makes what God is able to do through you unlimited. God can do anything he wants through you when you are walking in that power. But what many people, many religious, well-meaning people do in their own strength without the power of the Holy Spirit is they live a religious life. They try to be a good person. And they deny the power of the Holy Spirit. They say it doesn't take all that. And instead of embracing the supernatural, they embrace everything that is carnal. We call this carnal Christianity. Carnal Christianity basically pleases people, serves money, leans to your own understanding, and operates out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. Now, nothing wrong with your own strengths, talents, and abilities, except for the fact that they're unlimited. Or that they're limited. I'm sorry, I'm staying corrected. Your own natural strengths, talents, and abilities are as limited as you leaning to your own understanding, which is limited. And when you attempt to please people, that is never going to happen. And when you serve money instead of serving God, you're going to realize that that is a God that cannot be satisfied. You will never have enough. It is a unique form of bondage where you're chasing your tail forever trying to have enough money. God says, hey, I need you to be free. I need you to be free. Please me, serve me, trust me, and obey me through using the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit that I place within you so that you're not all tied up and twisted. And so now, as we transform ourselves, we begin to understand how to transform the world because we begin to understand it's love that transforms us, love that transforms the world. And what causes us to be transformed by love is us renewing our mind to the word of God. See, when we decide that what God says is more important than what we say or what we think or what we feel or what we believe or what we observe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and we get out of our own way and we begin to humble ourselves before the throne of God and say yes to his word, yes to his will, yes to his way, then we are going to find ourselves in a place of power, praise, and purpose. And that's the whole point. We want to know that God is pleased with us. We want to know that our reward is intact. Jesus Christ said, I am returning and my reward is with me. He's coming with his reward. See, we're not doing this for nothing. Jesus Christ says he is going to acknowledge our service, our work that we do for God in helping God build his heavenly kingdom of many nations. See, we have to get past our own nationalism, past our own racial idiosyncrasies, past our own socioeconomic barriers and special clubs and all this nonsense and just say, look, God is creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations that we are a part of, and the body of Christ is the largest organism, not organization, it's the largest organism in the universe, and it's the only organism that's going to remain ultimately. So you want to be a part of something, be a part of that, be a part of the body of Christ, and practice walking in love, because see, your perfected love walk is not only going to make you free from fear, but it is going to draw you into places of greatness. It is going to go before you as a hallmark of the power of the Holy Spirit within you, which means that you have access to the answers that people want to get to. And see, we want to be a part of the solution. We can be a part of the solution. We know what God has done when we understand what God is doing, and when we're aware of what God's about to do. And the only way to do that is by studying God's word. So look what it says here in Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I want to start now by saying that this is speaking of us. Us presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. And this living sacrifice is to be holy, is to be acceptable to God, and it is our reasonable service. It is what we are rationally returning to God at, in response to his great gift to us of sending his only begotten son to die for us so that we could once again come directly before his throne and receive new grace every day and pray to him in our heavenly prayer languages, speaking in tongues at all times. And then it says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be circumstance conditioned. Don't be limited to this world's rules. These people are subject to what they're subject to because of the sin of Adam. These people are limited in all that they do until they make Jesus Christ their master and Lord, and then they become children of God, and they can come before the throne of God through the blood of Christ. But until then, they're conformed to this world. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're not subject to this world. We are not circumstance conditioned. Their rules are not our rules. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we have to live like that. You need to believe like that. You need to know that. But you know what? If you don't study God's word, you don't know that, because you know what the next thing says? It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And see, the only way to renew your mind is to know what God's word says so that you can then replace what you think, what you feel, what you believe, what you understand, what you observe with what the word of God says, so that you are not limited to the rules of the world. You are not circumstance conditioned. You are not conformed to this world. Greater is he that is in you, the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world. All those devil spirits and devil spirit possessed individuals who are going to be acting under the authority of the devil. And see, when you come in contact with them, they have to bow down. They have to submit to the power and authority of God's son, Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's your power. That's your authority. And that's why you need to study God's word so that you can replace the way things used to be before you were saved with the way things are when you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. You're in at a different level. You dwell and operate in absolute power. See, in the world, they dwell and operate in relative power. In the world, they are either sold out to the devil and they have access to spiritual devil spirit power, which allows them to operate in the limited range of that power in the world, or you're in the world without access to that power and without access to the power of the Holy Spirit if you've not made Jesus Christ the Son of God the Lord of your life. And so that's why we want to share the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's son, Jesus Christ, with everybody we meet so that they can have the ability to no longer be an enemy of God the way we used to be enemies of God before we made Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, right? And then the reason it says we're to be transformed by renewing our mind to the word is so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, proving God's word is testing his word. We are to step out on that word and demonstrate the power by signs, miracles, and wonders following us because we believe. That's what God's word says. Signs, miracles, and wonders will follow those who believe. We call ourselves believers because we believe. So now when we study what God has done in the past in God's word, we study what God is doing in the present, and we study what God is about to do, all in his word, we can test that out. We can begin doing those things that God has done in the past, is doing in the present, and is in the process of doing in the future. And we can be a part of God's great plan for the future of creating his heavenly kingdom of many nations. We're not going to get caught up in this trap of nationalism, in this trap of racism, in this trap of socioeconomic vacuums that are created in the world to try to separate God's people. See, we're one body of Christ. The world does not make the rules for us. We are not subject to the world. So when God opens opportunities for us to move and maneuver and demonstrate his power in the earth, we are to walk into that without fear of reprisal from those who don't understand what they're looking at, because you know what? They'll come to understand what they're looking at, because when they ask us, how'd you do that? We're going to give God the glory and say, we did it through the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, and God has me here on assignment. And you know you're on assignment. You're not going to be playing around. You're not going to be guessing. You're not going to be looking for some cash. You're going to be handling God's business of winning souls for the kingdom and God create his heavenly kingdom in many nations. Look what it says here in Romans 12, verses 3 to 8, talking about serving God with spiritual gifts. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God gives each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use the different gifts that we've been given. If your gift is prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to your faith, to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then God tells us to behave like a Christian. But look at this. Before I get to that, if you are walking in love when you are prophesying, then your reward is intact and the people that you're prophesying to are getting blessed. If you are walking in love when you are ministering, then your ministry is going to receive its reward from God, and you're going, and the people you're ministering to are going to be blessed. If you are teaching and you are teaching through the love of desiring to see God's people freed and empowered and ready to use what you're sharing with them, then you're going to receive your reward for teaching, and the fruit of your ministry is going to be evident, because faithful men and women who hear your teaching are going to become able to teach others also. And you're going to see that exponential growth, that exponential maturity of the body of Christ. You're going to see believers being empowered to operate the power of the Holy Spirit within them, who are not backing down from the devil when they see that nonsense in the world. And those who exhort others, when you are exhorting people in love through exhortation, then your reward is intact. And those people who need your exhortation and your comfort are going to be blessed because you're doing it through love, through any other motive. And when those who are giving give with liberality, they give with generosity, their giving is going to be blessed. Their reward is going to be intact. And they're not going to have to worry about being afraid of people, you know, chasing them down all the time, looking for money and looking for a handout and looking for this, because you can't take from someone who is prone to generosity. People who are givers, they are looking for opportunities to give. Now, what you might do is, if you are a rascal, you might make it clear that you're a taker and that you're somebody just looking for somebody to give you something all the time. You know what? You don't even have to be needy to be like that. I know people who are looking for handouts every day, and they're not poor at all, right? But look at this. Is that when we give with liberality, when we give with love, our reward is intact. Our blessing is there because we're being a blessing to others. It says those who lead with diligence, right? So leaders, administrators, these people are necessary for the function of the church. And when you do it and you're doing it for God, you're diligent leading God's people. And you're not trying to lord over God's people. You're trying to keep God's people safe. You're trying to keep God's people in order. You're trying to keep the details cared for so that God's people are growing and moving closer in their relationship with God, not subject to confusion and chaos and disorder. And then he who shows mercy is to show mercy with cheerfulness and not be complaining about how he has to deal with all these people who just can't get it together, throwing tantrums every day. Da, 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 da. Sound like you're the one with a problem. This says those who show mercy are to show mercy with cheerfulness, right? So that when you're restoring a brother or sister in Christ who's fallen in sin or fallen in anyway, when you are showing mercy, do so with cheerfulness, with a confident expectation that they're going to be restored. See, that's what love looks like. That's what love feels like. That's what love is. And when you are operating in love, God is blessed. God is getting glory. And your reward is intact. God is blessing you while you're doing this, because see, it's a blessing to be a blessing. So then it says here in verse 9, I'm going to read from verse 9 to verse 21. This is a long list, so I want you to pay attention. It talks about behaving like a Christian. It says in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. That's the first thing. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given the hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, that is the command from God. That is what the Word of God has to say. And this is a very long list here if you pay attention to it. This long list of behaving like a Christian is one of the ways we transform the world through love. It's not acting like the world, right? It says, let love be without hypocrisy. You know what that means? That means that you don't just say, praise the Lord, to those who are in your church. Say praise the Lord to everybody. I know I do. And I know when there are people who are of different faiths and different congregations and we identify as Christians and I say praise the Lord, they get excited. And there are people who've heard that before, but then there are people who have not, right? It says, let love be without hypocrisy, where you prefer other people over others, right? Then it says, abhor what is evil. Reject what's evil. That's very simple. It says, cling to what is good. Now, think about this. What do you do differently if you reject what's evil and you cling to what's good? You know what you're talking about? You're talking about what's good. You're ignoring what's evil. You're leaving that alone. You're rejecting it. You don't have any part in it. You don't focus on it. You're not talking about it. You're not affected by it. You're clinging to what's good. And that's one of the things that happens that it speaks of at the end in verse 21, where it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, we overcome evil with good by clinging to what's good and rejecting or abhorring what is evil. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, right? So we are to be genuine in our affection for one another kindly, right? And then it says, in honor, giving preference to one another. See, we are to prefer those of the body of Christ. We are to go out of our way to love one another. That's part of what wins people to the body of Christ. And when you see that type of love among Christians, the world changes. The numbers increase all by themselves because people see that what you're doing is real. People see the effect of the Holy Spirit on your life in real time. It says, not lagging in diligence. See, this says here, be diligent. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Distribute to the needs of the saints. Be given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things. Associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Live peaceably with all men if you can. Do not avenge yourself. Give place to wrath. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If your enemy's thirsty, give him a drink. And in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head, meaning that you are going to cause him to acknowledge your goodness. And if he takes action against you, it will affect him as well as anything he tries to do. And then it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, perfect love casts out fear. We know that God cares for us. God protects us. And so we don't have to worry about someone's plans to thwart the purposes of God in our life. That's not going to happen. Everything God has ordained to happen in our life is going to pass. So now I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13, where it speaks in detail about love being the greatest gift and us understanding why we must transform the world through love and how to do it. Look at what it says here in chapter 13, verse 1. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of the angels, but have not loved, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I published things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now I want to take a minute to show you how God is making it very clear that love is the key to making all of these things that we do in the spirit, in the supernatural, effective. See, without love, these things are just things. And when you're not operating in love, then you're unkind, you are envious, you are putting on a show, bringing attention to yourself, you are behaving rudely, you are seeking your own agenda. You're easily provoked. You're always thinking evil. You're rejoicing in iniquity. You're not rejoicing in the truth. You're not bearing all things. You're not believing all things. You're not hoping all things. You're not enduring all things. And see, when you're walking in love, love never fails. And when we understand that love bears all things, love believes all things, love hopes all things, love endures all things, and love rejoices in the truth, that's what we want to focus on doing. That's where we want to go. And so this is really what needs to happen in order for us to get to this level of being transformed by renewing our mind to the word, so that we can transform ourselves through love, we can transform the world through love, we can cast out fear through our perfected love walk. And see, wherever there's fear in your life, it's the result of an undeveloped or underdeveloped love walk. And so now what has to happen is we have to dispel that fear. We have to make that fear go away by perfecting our love walk. So if you find that you are bound by fear personally, bound by fear professionally, bound by fear socially, bound by fear economically, whatever it is that is impacting you, you have to strengthen your love walk by spending some time in Romans chapter 12, spending some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but tonight, where we're going to land is in 1 John chapter 4, because 1 John chapter 4 is the culmination of these verses that speak about the love that we are to have. And when you get this, you're going to be fully equipped, fully empowered to do what God is calling you to do. And that's the point. God wants you to be free. God wants you to be available. God wants you to be capable. God wants you to be knowledgeable. He wants you to be aware. He wants you to rule right now. See, you're in a place of power right now. You're seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus right now. That has to become your reality. You need to check that out in Ephesians chapter 1. And when you see how important you are to God, how essential you are to God, you begin to take this more seriously. And it's not just religion. It's not just going along to get along. It's not just believing what some people said to you, what some nice people trying to be good said to you, who were nice to you and did some good things for you and gave you some stuff. It's nothing like that. This gets real, just like your DNA is real. You are really who you are. And you really have a mother and a father that you come from. See, when we're children of God, God is really our Heavenly Father. And we are in His household. Look at what it says here. 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading from verses 1 to verse 6. And this is talking about love for God and love for one another as believers. What it says is, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, see, we have to understand that God is serious about what he is doing. And God says that we're not to just believe every spirit, but we're to test the spirits, whether they're of God or not. And we know that the spirit of God confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and that spirit is of God. And that everyone that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So that's referred to as the spirit of the Antichrist that rejects the fact that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. But look at what it says here. It says, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Holy Spirit within us is greater than any devil spirit in the world. So when they come in contact with you, in the name of Jesus Christ, they must submit. In the name of Jesus Christ, they must bow down. In the name of Jesus Christ, they must yield. In the name of Jesus Christ, they must get out of the way or be cast out of wherever they are. That's the authority that we walk in. They're of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. See, everything they're talking about is about wars, rumors of wars, economy, and all the associated things that have to do with pleasing people, serving money, leaning to your own understanding, and operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. We don't have time for that nonsense. See, we have to spend our time pleasing God and not people, serving God and not money, trusting God and not leaning to our own understanding, and obeying God by operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit instead of operating out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. And it says, because we're of God, he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. So don't be surprised to reject what you say, because they just don't know. But we know the spirit of truth and we know the spirit of error. And that's the point, is God is going to have us going through life uninformed. God is not going to have us go through life unprepared. And see, the power and the tools to transform the world through love start with us understanding what God is doing and what he achieved at Calvary through his son, Jesus Christ. See, when God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die at Calvary for us, Jesus Christ was beat three times with a whip with pieces of bone and metal at the end of it. And he received 39 lashes each time. And that was for our physical wholeness. And after being beat to a pulp, then they marched him up Golgotha to nail him to the cross. And they nailed him to the cross and stabbed him in the side with a spear, and the blood came forth. He was dead, and they placed him in the stone tomb, and he was in the stone tomb for 3 days and three nights, and then God raised him from the dead. God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And after he raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, God gave him all power in heaven. God gave him all power on earth that the devil had. And God gave him all power in hell that the devil had. So Jesus Christ is about the business of completing a complete and finished work for his heavenly Father. And he's going to hand over this complete and finished work to his Father after he's placed all of his enemies under his feet. So we have to understand that we're sharing in this work. That's why we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, because after he gave his son, Jesus Christ, all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, he sent the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the guide, the teacher, to dwell within you and I. See, it wasn't available for the Holy Spirit to be within us for 4,000 years after Adam sinned. But after Jesus Christ paid the price by dying on the cross for us, and being dead for 3 days and three nights, we were able once again to receive the Holy Spirit within us. And that is something that changed the game, transformed us. And we've been in this place where that's been available to us for the past 2,000 years, a little more than 2,000 years. So this says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you, the Holy Spirit, is greater than he who is in the world, the devil spirits and those who are of the world. And because they're of the world, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. So, you know, those in the world, even those who claim to be Christian but are not, and they say that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They basically say, it doesn't take all of that. I don't need to speak in my heavenly prayer language. I don't need to pray. I don't need to fast. I don't need to fellowship with like-minded believers. I don't need to study God's word. I just do whatever I want. And they'll get whatever they get, right? But if we want to transform the world through love, we have to start by loving God and doing what God has asked us to do and love ourselves. And one of the ways we love ourselves is by pleasing God, serving God, trusting God, and obeying God. And so when we do that, then we are able to truly love others. And when we love others, then we're going in the direction God needs us to go, because we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who's not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, the spirit of truth operates in love and faith and believing and power. And that's why God says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. See, we've been given all that we need. We've been fully equipped for this job that God has asked us to do. And in the process of creating this heavenly kingdom of many nations, we are able to do this through love. Now, look at what it says here. It says, knowing God through love. We're talking about what's here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not know God, he who does not love, rather, does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, there's a whole lot in these four verses. And so we need to get this. If there's nothing else you hear tonight, hear this. Beloved, let us love one another because love is of God. I'm going to stop right there. Let us love one another because love is of God. And see, when we are being kindly affectionate to one another and brother with brotherly love, when we're giving preference to other Christians, when we're fervent in spirit, when we're serving the Lord, when we're rejoicing in hope, when we are being diligent, when we are being patient in tribulation, when we're continuing steadfastly in prayer, these are the things that mark our love of God and love for one another. Look at what it says. It says, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, right? So the evidence that you're born of God and know God, that you're born again and you know God, you have an intimate relationship with God, is that you love. That's a big deal, right? And so it's one of those things where we don't want to go through life guessing if we're saved, guessing if we're going to heaven, right? It says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. See, this is relationship driven. When you wake up and you're praying in your heavenly prayer language, you're just thanking God, praising God. You're thinking of God first thing in the morning, right? You are in a place of relationship. And that is a place of favor. It's a place of purpose, power, and praise. He who does not know God, who does not love, does not know God. And see, this is important. You can't know God without loving. And loving requires us to just get past ourselves, get past what we believe, what we observe, what we experience, and renew our mind to the Word of God and understand that God is love. See? He who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And that's an important thing I think we really have to get from this. If we're transforming the world through love, we're transforming the world through God. You know, that's it. God is love. And this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. See, listen to this and understand that the devil would have you to not hear this, but you need to get what it's saying here in verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. God manifested his love toward us in that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's important for us to understand. God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we could live through his Son, Jesus Christ. It says, and this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That big word, propitiation, is payment. God loved us and sent his Son to be the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So God is saying, hey, if I paid such a great price for you by sending my only begotten Son to pay for all of your sins, then the least you can do for me is to love one another. Now, this is important to understand because right now, the body of Christ is in shambles. We have so many different, quote-unquote, Christian denominations. You can't tell one Christian from another because there are so many different agendas and organizations and labels and versions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, out there. And we have to learn to meet one another where we are. We have to learn to give one another room to grow. We have to learn to identify the fruit of the Spirit when you see them. If someone is producing in their life and what you see is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, you have to know that that's a Christian because only the power of the Holy Spirit allows you to truly manifest that fruit in your life, right? And so we have to learn to love one another by identifying one another, not according to what organization we belong to, not according to what country we live in, not according to what race we happen to be, not according to the color of our skin, our eyes, our hair, not according to the neighborhood that we live in, not according to any of that silly nonsense. But we have to identify one another as Christians and then prefer one another as being a part of the body of Christ and be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. See, that's what's going to win others to the body of Christ is our love for one another. And we are responding to God's love for us first in that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be the payment for our sin. See, when Jesus Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying fervently, he was saying, is there any other way to do this? He was about to go into the test of his life, and he did that for us. He endured those beatings. He endured that humiliation. He endured that pain and that suffering for us. He carried the weight of our sins on the cross. And now what God asks us to do is love one another. And I'll tell you, it could be hard if we didn't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes it possible to love somebody who was your oppressor at one time. Holy Spirit gives you the power to love somebody who is your oppressor right now. And when you are walking in love toward your brothers and sisters in Christ as they grow in the Spirit as well, and giving them room to grow by being merciful, then you are going to receive your reward from God. You're going to be pleasing God. You're going to be serving God. You're going to be trusting God. You're going to be obeying God. And God loves that. See, it's our love for God that causes us to do what we do for him and causes us to love ourselves and motivates us to love others, even up to our enemies. And that's not easy, but it's possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says, seeing God through love, right? When we look at what it says here in 1 John 4, verses 12 through 16, look at what it says about seeing God through love. It says, no one has seen God at any time. You know, God is spirit. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he abides in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that God We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Now, that's as complete as it gets. That's as clear as it can be. And in order to really allow this to sink in, we want to take a look at this, seeing God through love. It says, no one has seen God at any time. This is a fact. God is spirit. People may have seen manifestations of God as in Moses at a burning bush. But this says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and has been perfected in us, if we love one another. See, and see, remember what I was saying earlier, that other verse where it says, perfect love casts out fear, right? This is where you do not need to be afraid. If you're loving one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. That is that perfected love when we love one another, right? God's love has been perfected in us when we love one another and God abides in us. It says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. See, it's that Holy Spirit that dwells within us that allows the love of God to be shed abroad in our heart and allows us to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, because love never fails, right? It's that patience, experience, and hope that we get through tribulation, that the love of God enables us to endure so that we can be strengthened and prepared for the next assignment in life. See, we're always going to a greater test, to a bigger test, to something more that God is asking us for, because he's going to get more glory out of us, because the power he's placed in us is unlimited power, and the rewards that he has for us are significant and eternal, right? So if we are intentionally going for those rewards, then we are going to be using that spirit that he's given us. Look at what it says in 14. It says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. See, we that God has sent his Son Jesus Christ as Savior of the world. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. I'll say that again. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. That's important. That's powerful. That's true. And that's what we have to stand on. So look at what it says here about the consummation of love in 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 19. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Remember what I was talking about, where it said earlier in verse 12, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us, right? Well, as it pertains to the consummation of love, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Then it says, there is no fear in love. No fear in love. If you're afraid, then love needs to be perfected in your life. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. If you're in torment, you need to strengthen your love walk. This says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. See, you have to understand, God is three things. God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, and God is present everywhere. And when you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know that you are never alone, you're never without power, and you're never without knowledge to deal with any situation, right? So you want to be perfect in love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love yourself and love others. Prefer the brethren, but love even your enemies. And understand that God has a plan for you. His plan for you is good. His plan is that you help participate in his plan of creating his heavenly kingdom of many nations. So you have to stay focused. You have to not get the You have to not let the devil try to divide the body of Christ into all these pieces and parts and denominations and isms and schisms and other sects of so-called Christians, right? There's only one body of Christ and only one head of the body of Christ. The one head of the body of Christ is God's Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he is the one that we serve as our master and Lord. And God is pleased by that. That's how God designed it. So look at what it says about our by faith. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 to 21, it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. I'll tell you, that is as clear as it gets. Do I need to explain that? Do I need to expound on that? I think not. I'm going to read it again, though. It says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So understand, God's not making suggestions. If God tells you something to do, it is a commandment. That means you are required to do what God is requiring you to do. And it's your love for God that is going to cause you to do what God is asking you to do, because our desire is to please God, serve God, trust God, and obey God. We are serious about doing that. And when we get to the point where that's where we are in our heart, then God will honor that. God will make a way for us to make that happen. God is going to be the one who causes us to yield, who causes us to submit, who causes us to obey, who causes us to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life of joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, so that we can really get glory for him, and we can really raise, win souls for the kingdom and manifest his love throughout the earth and meet the needs of many. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight, God. I thank you for your hedge or protection around all of us this evening, God. Father, I thank you for those of us on the other part of the world who have just started their work day, God. Father, I thank you for you blessing them, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to walk in your favor, God. I thank you for you allowing us to transform the world and to become selfless in what we do so that we can focus on your purpose and your power and your praise in our life so that we can truly transform the world through love. I thank you for all this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Spirit Live Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
Holy Spirit, give me the words that will bring new life. Words on the wings of the morn, in the dark night will fade away. In my heart now.
Speak to my heart.
Holy Spirit.
Message of love.
Go to encourage me.
Lift me in my heart.
From the stand. Love me and
care for me.
Speak to my heart now. Give me the
words,
the words, the words,
that will sing.
Oh, my. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on, never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide, and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
From my heart.
Give me your
Holy Word.
If I can hear from you.
If I can hear.